Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of April 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Zach.
I'm your co-host, Chris.
And yeah, this week we are climbing into our police interceptors and heading back to 1979 to celebrate the 45th anniversary of Mad Max, the original Mad Max. It debuted in its native Australia on April 12th, 1979. So actually, if you're hearing this the day it goes out, it's today is the 40th anniversary of Mad Max. It also kind of like lines up along with another post-apocalyptic thing that happened this week. It's the Fallout TV show debuted. So it's kind of a double dose of post-apocalyptic goodness happening.
Though I would argue that the Mad Max movie isn't so much of a post-apocalyptic future.
The first one is apparently it's on the world's on the verge of apocalypse, but it doesn't seem like it. But yeah, 1979, George Miller directed it. I don't know if it was his first movie, but oh yeah, it was his first movie. So this is like his directorial debut, and then next three movies were the next two Mad Max movies. So it's like Mad Max, Road Warrior, Thunderdome were all his first three movies. And then he started branching out into other stuff like Babe and Happy Feet.
He had a counterbalances like insane Australian sci-fi lore,
and then jump right back into it with a Fury Road and the upcoming Furiosa. But yeah, the first Mad Max, it's definitely going. If you're going back to it, like where we are now in the Mad Max franchise, with like the hyper stylized, hyper crazy, like almost neon, like hyper colored, like Fury Road, Furiosa style. Like, the first Mad Max is, like, a very quaint, like, very small scale, like, it's, and then, like, we mentioned, like, it doesn't seem like, that bad of things are, I mean, apparently something bad things are happening in the background, but it doesn't really feel like there's, like, that, like, everyone's going about their normal lives, it seems like, mostly.
Yeah, so, it just seems like a roving biker gang is terrorizing just the countryside.
Yeah, like the countryside of like Australia, wherever in Australia this takes place.
Just Perth.
Perth, yeah.
So, and compared to the other things where there are warlords and like orphans at stake and like dwindling resources, none of that is brought into here.
In fact,
in the movie's supposed to be sometime in the future, so it could be in the 90s, it could be 2000s, and when this movie was...
I think it specifically says, when it starts, it says, like, a few years from now.
So, the 80s?
A few years from 1979.
So, I know the technology has definitely advanced, so I'm not gonna fault it on that.
Yeah.
It's still enjoyable for a... like... I guess like a vignette in this crazy universe. It's not supposed to go into so much detail because as soon as you start questioning it, it just starts unraveling. Especially when there's a lot more scenes just out of context than I remember. like the police force that's just made up of like, I don't like an after school program of like cops.
Yeah. What's the weird thing about the first one is that they're still cops.
Yeah, there's just a police force.
And Max is a cop still in his first
that,
movie.
There still is order. There still like is lawyers. There still yes. are like,
and the lawyers are still like the bane of like police existence because like the one of the guys they arrest is like, well, he like there was no witnesses. He didn't, like no one came to court. He's let him go.
Yeah, it's just they want to prevent kangaroo court.
Yeah,
I guess. There still are like services in the area. Like there are petrol, well,
there's still like auto repair shops and diners and TV news broadcasts and radio stations. It's not like the very next movie where society has absolutely collapsed into anarchy, and there's warlords, and barely any, like, gas is like the most precious resource in the world, and like there's like these little like communities have sprung up that are trying to survive the wasteland.
So the first thing that you notice, and it kind of goes against the grain for post-apocalyptic things, is you have communication. Mm-hmm. You need to cut off a good source of communication in order for the post-apocalyptic thing to kind of always happen. But I get it. It's 1979. There hasn't been a lot of material to explain wasteland like structure. It really depends on how you view the Max Max movie, these series of movies. So my first Mad Max was number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really watch number 1 a lot. So going back, it really is jarring because this movie does not feel like a Mad Max movie. Like, it doesn't even feel like Mad Max is the main hero.
Oh, no. Like, Max disappears for, like, especially in the beginning, like, he just disappears for, like, huge chunks. Like, because we're following the other, like, his partner, Goose, which before Top Gun, we had the Mad Max's Goose. It's played by Steve Bisley, who is, yeah, he has his own storyline for, like, the first half of the movie. And Max is just, like nowhere to be seen.
See, not only is Goose the secondary character, he's also he's the character featured on the poster.
And that's because like the post, the original iconic poster is like this guy with a motorcycle, police motorcycle helmet, like leather police outfit with a gun. But Max doesn't look at that at all at any point in the movie. So it's obviously Goose or someone else like modeled after Goose.
It's Goose. It's the only one that has that attire.
Yeah.
And the movie starts just like as misdirections. I don't know if that's intentional or just cobbled together. It starts with like the two bumbling cops.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who, I mean, not even that. It starts with just like them, but then one cop is watching a couple make love in the like
field.
Yeah. In the field. And that's how like the movie just starts. So I don't know if it kind of has that like, I don't know, the like New Zealand / Australian comedy tone. It's definitely like something that I recognize as like a Peter Jackson thing too in his other works that aren't Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Where it plays around just like being goofy and then surreal, where it's not a comedy, but it has comedy beats.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot. Like just the two bumbling cops talking to each other, the Knight Rider just sort of making fun of things.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. Like, so yeah, so this guy who calls himself the Knight Rider, who is, he's apparently, I think he killed a cop and stole his car.
So
he and his girlfriend are like driving around in one of like the police interceptor cars. And I thought it was interesting because like, so like Hugh Keyes Byrne plays Toe Cutter, who's like the main, motorcycle like gang leader. And then and then later on Fury Road, which was his last movie, he played Immortan Joe. And I thought it was funny where like Knight Rider is like, he's like, Toe Cutter's gonna notice me. Toe Cutter, notice me. Like it was kind of like this weird they like brought that back later for like the Witness Me stuff and like Fury Road.
So I think what happens is because people are so weird for villains that they idolize who can out-villain the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the police chief wanted to make Max the hero. Like he was looking to design a cop that basically will clean up the land.
And yeah,
just, like he didn't know how, but he knew just give him enough time. And this.
Well, I guess the only the evidence that like I guess society is kind of collapsing is that the police station is like a shithole. it's almost like an abandoned building. That they're still operating out of, but it's all like crumbling and like barely like livable.
That could just be Australia.
The Hall of Justice.
Yeah, which every time I see that, I just think not the right Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
So, that's another thing about the movie is that the Knight Rider part, it plays a big role because if you're like me, who I think the first time I've seen this movie, I missed the first 20 minutes or so. So I didn't know who the hell the Knight Rider was.
Yeah.
It's a one scene long car chase. It's a long car chase of the guy. He's not riding in the night. He's not, he doesn't have a helmet or something crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everyone's names don't match. Toe Cutter never cuts someone's toes off. Like, so it's just like, why is he called Toe Cutter? I don't know.
I think there's a
Johnny the Johnny the boy. He's not a boy.
He's a grown man.
Yeah.
I also think like there's a guy named like Luigi.
Yep.
Like he's just Italian.
Like Toe Cutter's like second like his second in command guy is like Bubba Zanetti.
Oh, I forgot that was his name.
Yeah. Kundalini, like all his
Kundalini is the guy who he has like the mustache, and I was like, mm-hmm. I think he's supposed to be Italian. I don't know. We don't really hear from him. Yeah, like they're all just like mishmash of just looks like to me like Dexter and the Midnight Train. Like they all look like those guys.
Oh, like Dexy's Midnight Oil, like the like Come On Eileen guys.
Is it the Midnight Oil or the Midnight Train?
Midnight Oil, or like I think Midnight Oil. I think there's like they're two separate like Australian bands.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Midnight Oil. They did like Beds Are Burning.
Then, sorry, Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Who did like Come On Eileen? They wear like overalls.
Yep. But they were from the UK. Either way, it's something to do on the other side of the world from where we are.
But they don't seem like a like compared to like the very next movie where we get like Lord Humongous. Like,
oh yeah, no, where basically they are start getting more ripped. And...
Yeah, and they're like literally like the Road Warriors from like the WWE. Like, yeah,
they literally are, I don't know, more outdoorsy
barbarians. Yeah,
barbarians. Yeah, the true. Like scavengers who basically look like they have to stay fit in order to like kill a lot more often.
Yeah,
these guys, this posse of bikers, are just assholes.
Mm-hmm. Like,
a lot of the time, everyone's afraid because no one wants to do anything. But and usually in like a one-on-one confrontation, they get like punched a lot. Like Toe Cutter gets like. In the beginning, Toe Cutter almost gets hit by the car that's fleeing the town.
Yeah.
Okay. Toe Cutter also gets like an ice cream smushed in his face and like kicked in the groin.
Yeah.
Okay. Toe Cutter also is just like tricked into his demise, and that's he's the leader of the band of the biker gang. Everyone else dies in like dumber ways.
They reminded me a lot of a little bit of like the Droogs, like Alex and the Droogs from like Clockwork Orange. It's like we're just gonna like you know wander around, just cause random violence and just like assault people and just do whatever we want. Like
right, so the Droogs, at least in that, they were supposed to be like 16, 17,
yeah,
maybe 18. These look like all grown like 30-year-old Australian men.
Yeah. Like they should be like the Wild Hogs, like.
Yeah. There are some parts where you do feel like they are organized, like when they attack the car and they're all just like bashing it and decide to rip it strategically.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times they're just like guys of no plan, like when one of them loses an arm or a hand and they're just yelling and. I don't know, like
the one guy makes like bird calls or like he meows like a cat or something. Like
yes, they all look like Fright Fest workers.
Oh, there's also I think it's just like because they filmed it in Australia and like they didn't like the budget was so small. I feel like they couldn't like edit out or like get rid of like there's like just like I think there's like random like sheep calls or like bird calls in the background constantly. I couldn't tell if there was like a guy, like one of the guys in the band, like the group, just like making weird animal calls, or if it was just like there's just like random animals off screen that they couldn't like get rid of.
Just near an active farm.
Yeah.
So Mad Max also is one of those movies that is famous for being a guerrilla film at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like George Miller did not secure enough funding to have permits and like close sets and I don't know like safety coordinators. I was watching Mr. Sunday Movies review of of this Mad Max also, and mm-hmm. they bring up an important fact that a lot of these stunts were done by like a handful of professionals, and the rest were just like, you want to see some cool shit? Like, you don't die.
Yeah.
And that's why there's like a good, there's a cool grittiness once you understand that. Like, I feel like Mad Max is appreciated by film buffs, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if before Fury Road and maybe before Beyond Thunderdome, people really into Mad Max besides like a very niche group of people that saw this in the theaters as like a grindhouse movie.
Well, it's really similar to like Duel, like the Steven Spielberg movie that came out like 2 years before this. It's got that kind of vibe where it's just like we got a kind of like empty stretch of road. We got some vehicles, and then that's our movie. Like we're just gonna like these like car chases that are like we don't really have a lot of the budget to make like these like elaborate ones, but it's just gonna be like guys in the actual cars like smashing each other. Like,
oh, so I've never seen Duel. I feel, is that inspirational to this?
I mean, I don't. It was a TV movie, so I don't know, like, if it was like an American TV. So I don't know if George Miller was like in like somewhere where he could see it. I mean, it's become like a, you know, a cult cult classic and like a very like influential, like definitely inspired like Quentin Tarantino to do like Death Proof. But yeah, I don't know if George Miller saw it, or maybe just it was kind of like that. That was the vibe of like the 70s. Yeah,
this movie is mostly car chases and mostly like really road warrior stuff.
Except when it's like running through the woods.
Yes, so that's like a whole different scene from another movie. It becomes a hard, like, there are times where it becomes a slasher.
Like, The Hills Have Eyes or something, or, yeah. Which, can we talk about Max's family?
Sure.
Which it's a weird thing, like, yeah, he has a family, and the one thing that jumped out to me is that Max and his wife, Jessie, are, like, the worst parents in the world.
No!
Well, I mean, the first scene we see, his son is playing, like, his little son Sprague is playing with his fucking gun.
Okay, well.
And then, like, I feel like there's time, like, loaded. Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah, hopefully it's not loaded, but, like, there's not even a mention of, like, oh, hey, that's not a toy, kiddo, or whatever, like, it's not even, like, a joke, it's, like, Max just leaves one day, it's like, is your son still playing with your gun? Like, and then, when they go on, like, their family trip later, I feel like there's like just like scenes where like they're off on themselves, and it's just like, where's Sprague? Where's the kid? Like when Max like swimming, like jumps in like that lake or whatever, and then they like have like that like emotional like Max is talking about his father. It's just like, well, where's your son, Max? Like, you're a terrible father.
I assumed he was there, and there is no big setup for that. It's just sort of like, we'll get into that vacation scene, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, like, they're not the worst. There's a lot of love, but I understand where, yeah, don't give a kid a gun.
Maybe like just like very neglectful or like very forgetful.
I think because, forgetful.
Because it feels like the kid, like Sprague, is just like left by himself constantly. While Max and Jessie just go off and have like romantic like interlude somewhere. It's like, he's fine in the car. He's fine. He's fine with it, with this dog we just purchased from a random guy on the street or on the road.
Did they buy a random dog?
Yeah, I think they just ran to a guy like on the road and just like, hey, can we buy one of your dogs? And he's like, all right, sure. Here's the dog.
I totally missed that. Also, okay, I'm gonna be honest. A lot of Mad Max, you don't need to pay attention to, like, all the small details. It's not a subtle movie. It's actually, at some points, a lot of downtime.
Uh-huh.
Like, mm-hmm. staring and having moments, or watching his wife play the freaking saxophone.
Oh my god, yes. It's
totally random. And yeah, you see more about the like countryside of this area.
Mm-hmm. Which again seems perfectly fine. Like you can just like you can like walk by yourself to the beach, you can. Yeah. Like, Max has, like, his elderly, like, friend that he, like, they go and spend time with. Like, they're just, like, you know, driving around, like, a family, like, a like a station wagon, just station having wagon, a great yeah. old time.
Not, like, it's not like it's not a battle station wagon.
Yeah.
And the water seems clean that you could swim in it. Mm-hmm. It's not like that's so precious. There's a lot of greenery happening.
Yeah.
And yeah, Max is wearing like clean clothes. Like at one point he's just wearing like slacks and like a button down blue and white shirt, like a striped shirt. Like it looks just like fine. Like
yeah.
Not, like there are cages of people being like hung upside down like in the road, or there's like a roving gang of, you know, motorcade people with like skulls. It like that doesn't yeah. happen yet, and that's only 3 years after this.
Well, the only thing I can think of is because the road that like I think it's in the road in the beginning and the road at the end is like it's like a some sort of like unauthorized zone or something. And like if you like read like the Wikipedia like description or like some other like plot descriptions, like that's like I guess that's like the start, like that section is already like a wasteland kind of like dystopian. And then I guess that spreads out for the rest of like Australia and then the rest of the world, I guess. Because like it's like that's I think that's where Toe Cutter and them come from, is like this forbidden zone, like it's like to, like stay out of this area zone. Gotcha. And then everyone there's crazy already.
That makes more sense. Only because like I don't know where these people are. Like, where was Toe Cutter's goal? Was to collect the body of the Knight Rider. Actually, before we get too far into that, let's talk about the Knight Rider scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, a guy breaks out of jail, meets Max. Max, like, tricks it, like, doesn't even trick him. They just drive along the countryside. But the Knight Rider gets scared of Max because he realizes he encountered a guy who is just as fearless as him. Or
because they play chicken. They play chicken. Max wins because like they're not very flinched, I guess.
But the Knight Rider has like a mental breakdown.
Yep.
It's never really explained. I think it's supposed to be interpreted that he is afraid, and that's what causes him to drive recklessly into like an oil fireworks factory. Like a
yep.
So that's that, and plus that model of the car is the same Intercept model I think Max then drives. So not only is that car only is like everyone that car died, then the shell of that car is fine. Like then they're able to rebuild that car into Max's Intercept.
I don't know if they build that car in the Intercept. I think they're already working on like the actual Intercept, like the other, like because like the one that Max, like the actual like the black Interceptor that Max drives at the end. Is like it's what it hasn't existed before. So like no one else it wasn't out there in like the you know, the police force.
Really? Because it looked very similar to the car that Knight Rider drove.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything that says like, oh, like they turned that car to like.
Well, maybe not. It's supposed to imply, because even that mechanic in the police shop says that it's bits of here and there they're able to scrap together.
Yeah, but it's a crazy suit. It's got like a crazy like V8 like giant engine in it, and that's like the captain's like bribe. Basically, it's like, hey Max, we're gonna give you this like awesome fucking car, and then if you stay on the police, you get to drive this car.
You get to drive this cool car, fighting cool Australian crime.
But then they don't like it's like here that's your car, but then he doesn't drive that car until the end. Like,
but okay, so is it implied that Max drove all the way back to the city, like got back and then drove all the way back to the countryside?
Oh, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
that, he did that in like a day.
Yeah, because like he doesn't have like he, I guess yeah that they're like station wagon's broken, like it like its fan belt broke whatever. So like it's yeah, it seems like he walked all like. Or like, I guess maybe an ambulance came, and then he got to like the hospital, and then wherever the hospital is in relation to like the police station. Which also another thing, yeah, there's also still hospitals in the first Mad Max.
Yeah,
they don't seem very good, but there's still hospitals.
They work, but not all the time because the doctors just kind of gave up.
I was surprised the doctor was smoking a cigarette in the room, just being like, "Yeah, she's gonna die." Like.
Oh, don't forget, it's also still, like, the 70s doctors.
Yeah.
Barely any better yet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then Toe Cutter and his friends are like, hey, we witnessed Knight Rider because like everyone in the news is talking about how crazy the crime was and this guy did it. And then they want to collect his body. I don't know why. I don't know what they're doing with the body besides collecting it.
Well, why does it end up in that like weird small town on the train?
I think so. The train is the station to pick up the body. So that's
yeah. But yeah, I got put on a train, just left at the station. Then they show up and like come to collect it.
Right, they collected it. Then they bother this couple who is afraid of Toe Cutter. Like it doesn't imply. I don't think that couple that runs away knows Toe Cutter personally. I think they were just like
no. They just see all these guys doing like crazy shit in town. They're just like, we gotta get out of here. Like,
but then Toe Cutter's like, we want to try to go after those guys now.
Yeah. No one leaves without us saying, like.
So I think that's the point. Is that Toe Cutter just didn't like them leaving?
Maybe, or like you said earlier, like they almost ran him over. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was a personal thing.
That's another thing in this movie too, like, because like that couple has like a really like fancy like hot rod like souped up car, and that's like later on, you know, later in the Mad Max movies, we get like these like you know. Yeah, like we're saying, like cars with, like skulls on them, like very like, yeah, you know, like apocalyptic. And then this movie has like it's more like hot rods and like custom cars. Like there's like a scene where like Goose is just like admiring these like this couple that has like a crazy like custom motorcycle.
Yeah,
and he's just like cool bike guys later. Like,
yeah, and he's like flirting with the girl.
Yeah,
so, I don't know if in this. Future, like it's just so weird. It's like this could just be the countryside of Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people just have like super customized like cars and motorcycles.
Yeah,
and then eventually it turns like the Doof Warriors like amplifier truck. Like,
so that's the thing. I don't know if during this time frame, everyone in the future Mad Max installments are here at the same time. Like, Max is what, 30 maybe 28.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like he is younger than Immortal Joe, so Immortal Joe has to be like older, you know, like in the sense of like he would have to be like 40 something in terms of like how to scale this correctly for later on in the series. I know, like, timeline doesn't make any sense, but Immortal Joe could just be, like, a gas station guy. During this
Maybe, yeah.
Running, like, a sandwich shop. Before stuff gets worse.
He's just making a sub, like, witness me! Put mayo on your sub!
He hasn't gotten that yet, but it's getting there.
That should be, like, the Furiosa, like, prequel. It's just, like, Immortal Joe just like walks past like a hardware store and sees like Silver Surfer and just like, that gives me an idea.
Yeah, essentially that's what's happening during this time. There was a Mad Max prequel comic series
mm-hmm.
that came out a few years ago or during the time of the first movie. I mean, not the first movie, but during Fury Road. That sort of explains the warring factions, but it doesn't really explain this era. Because again, it's hard to show this world and then not question where the hell were all these people doing. So,
and how like apparently just like absolutely quickly, like within like a couple years after this movie, just like turned into this Road Warrior, where it's like a giant, like just a desert, the entire like environment collapsed and everything collapsed.
Yeah, like where everyone is basically working out and then like making their own leather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Goose, who basically sets him off by, was it like the young member,
Johnny the boy,
who I think Immortal, like I mean Toe Cutter has like a thing with. I think they have like a
that whole gang is like very homoerotic.
Yes. Which I don't mind. It's
no, yeah.
Care, you know, thing. It just, though, John the boy is supposed to be, like, a couple things. He's supposed to be, like, maybe the newest member. He mm-hmm. is the most wild. He he's the most he's on drugs somehow. And then he's also like the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
They find him strung out, like Goose and Max find John the boy strung out on heroin, like watching a girl in a car that they vandalized. Like it's such a weird placement. I thought it was like a trap, and you realize it's not. It's like they just don't have a plan. It's
yeah, that's not for shit. That's not like where Max learned about Bates.
Yeah, it's literally just like this dumb guy fell asleep, and they left the biker gang just left him.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they arrest him, and then apparently, when they went to court, and no one showed up. Like the girl that they assaulted didn't show up. Like nobody from town showed up. I mean, Goose and Max didn't show up, which it's on them. But it's like,
yeah, why didn't they show up?
Yeah, but yeah, basically. But then the lawyer, like Johnny the Boy's lawyer, shows up and says, like, well, no one showed up, so and he's also like, he's too crazy to stand trial, so he gets to go free.
Because that's how the law works.
Yeah, and then Goose flips out and almost beats him, like, or like he's kind of trying to beat him, and they, it's like they stop him, and then he breaks free and like beats up Johnny the Boy for a little bit, and then they catch him again, and they breaks free, beating on him again. But yeah, but eventually like the gang takes it back, but then they're like, well, we gotta get revenge on this these two guys. Or at least like, it's more on Goose, because Goose is the one that was trying to beat the shit out of him. And then
John the boy also knew the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing this for a while. They know how to play the odds, I guess.
But then when Goose is at a like cabaret show, it's going on somewhere in like the city. They loosen something, or they take something off his bike.
I think it's brakes.
Yeah, so they sabotage his bike, and then he goes like, and then like he's like you know, he's flying down the road on his bike, and he crashes, and it's like this crazy spectacular crash, and he just gets up, he's fine. Like he's just like, wow, that was a crazy crash. Like,
so since for those who've seen this movie before or know of what happens, you think that's the main incident. You think that was gonna be it. But it just keeps escalating because it's like the next day.
Yeah.
Follow up happens.
But yeah, so he crashes his bike. He should be dead from that crash. He's not, he's fine. He calls a buddy who has a truck, and he puts his bike in the back of the truck, and then he's driving his truck, and that's when they attack him finally.
Yeah, it makes it seem like the first incident is not related to the second one.
Johnny the boy was like stalking him, and then like if the bike that crashed into kill him, he had this backup plan of like, I'm gonna throw like a brake drum through like the truck windshield.
Yeah, that wasn't really much a plan. That just seemed like a spur of the moment. But then the next part of the, like, let's also burn him, just seeing.
Yeah.
Even Johnny wasn't even about that.
Yeah. Was Johnny or Tokuto was like the one about, like, I think Johnny was like yelling about, like, we gotta, these bronzes, man. We, like, he was like yelling about the cops, and like, yeah, we gotta start taking down the cops. And then Tokuto was like, do it then. Like, show me.
But then, yeah, Johnny was like, I didn't want, no, not like this. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
He sort of resists, but it's too late at that point. Like, mm-hmm. you're part of this crazy ass gang now.
Yeah, and then Goose is turned to like a charcoal briquette. And I guess he's still alive, but then like he's in the hospital, and like Max goes in there, and he's just, like, horrified by it, which I think they show like his hand, but then like Max pulls down like where his face is, and he's horrified by it.
Yeah, I do like that. It's not as graphic as it could be. It tries to show more reactionary, and then I guess
they probably also didn't have the budget for like crazy bird makeup. But
it probably would have looked terrible. It would have looked like just a bunch of like watercolor paint.
It wouldn't have looked like, you know, like Harvey Dent in Dark Knight. It would have been like some sort of like just like weird face paint or something. Maybe with some like oatmeal put into it or something. But yeah, but then Max is like, instead of like, I'm going to seek revenge for my friend. It's like, I need to go on, I need to leave. I need to, like, put the police force. And then his captain is like, well, why don't you go on vacation instead? And then you can think about it. Then you can, if you still want to quit, you can quit after you go on vacation.
Well, because I guess the police chief is still hedging his bets. And I don't know what. Okay, when that happens, you see, like, the police chief just watering his plants without a shirt on.
With, yeah, no shirt. He kind of has, like, an ascot on.
Yep.
Like a scarf or, like a tie, but no shirt.
So, again, as a kid, when I first watched this, confused. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what is happening? Is it just...
This is Australia? This is everyone just Australia?
Because I did not know that in the original Mad Max, you know, if you miss the blurb that it's set in the future, you just think this is Australia. It's just
yeah.
Like zany Australian culture. But yeah, then Mad Max goes on vacation and becomes like a large part of the movie too.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fun road trip. Like they're like, you know, they're traveling across Australia. They get a dog. They're like hitting swing holes.
They're also stopping by like ice cube shops and gas stores. You know, like it does not seem very post-apocalyptic. So the gas station part was interesting, where they are stopping for like ice cream and trying to repair a spare tire.
So yeah, something happens. They have to get like a new tire, redo something on their tire, and then, but yeah, they don't need the car there. Like they just need the tire there, and because like you know, Jesse like drives off with like we're gonna get some ice cream, and then like Max is left at the repair shop with the guy. But then that's where they run into. Like Tokunari's gang, I don't know if they were following them or they're just randomly at this like seaside town. Like
I think they were randomly there. I think it was
they gave up on the other town. They're like we traveled down the road to this town now.
Yeah. So essentially, I'm assuming it's all one highway road. They don't have like multiple paths because Australia is just one giant circle.
Yeah, it does. Like, if you see the roads in this movie, it seems like it's just one long straight road that just goes across. Like, you stay on that road and you never get off that road.
Yeah, there's no main street that they show you. There's no alternate path. So, eventually, I think it's not even like a lot of odds. You're just gonna meet the person if they just want to go to the beach. You go to the one spot all the beaches are at, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just unfortunate that. These biker gangs are just hanging around this ice cream shop, harassing this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some creepy one-liners. There's a line said by one of the henchmen that just says, "Oh, my favorite, a woman," or something like that. Like, it's something very.
Well, it's like he sees Jesse and Sprague, and he's just like, "Oh, look, dinner and desserts."
Yeah,
creepy. And it's my favorite woman, or like a woman. But yeah, and like you mentioned before, like Jesse like smashes the ice cream token in his face and knees him in the balls, gets away, and then the one guy I think we mentioned like Cundalini, who I guess is like the Italian member or like something. it's not really clear what anyone's like gimmick is. They're just all like kind of crazy like biker guys, but he tries to like use a chain to like latch onto the car, and then it rips his hand off.
I don't know what his plan was. He really wrapped that chain around his hand, and then
he was gonna like he was gonna stop the car. Like he was just gonna like plant his feet and like stop the car. But yeah, they get away, and then like they pick up Max, and then they go to Max's like friend's house, like May, who
say,
just like
they don't say who that person was.
Yeah, well, Wikipedia says she's an old friend of Max from. How he met her, where, like, how, like, all the details we don't know. It's just like they go to her like, cottage in the like farm in the woods, and then she has like a giant like special needs son that is just like wandering around.
Yep,
Benno.
A lot of that was kind of missed. Like, I kind of remember this scene differently in the movie. I always thought the son and Max, like, they helped each other. I thought they did, like, a team-up scene or something. But they literally are just secondary characters. They didn't even need to be in this movie, and the movie still would have made sense.
Yeah.
It could have just been, like, a house they rented or a house they found. The special needs son just sort of pops up as a misdirect to scare Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, it's so weird because I think, like, we never see the son again after.
No.
I don't know if George Miller just knew someone and was just in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let us use your land and then we will put someone in your family in our movie.
But yeah, but this scene is where we get like the like seemingly endless like forest chase where like Jesse's just running for what seems like forever away from like the toe cutter and his gang and the gang through the woods.
Yeah, then they're popping out like ninjas. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
If you see them, they're all like scattering and running around. And again, it's like, are they? They're very organized. Have they done this before?
But then the funny thing is, everyone gets back to like this farm, and then May manages to lock all the gang in the barn because she has a shotgun. Like a single, like double barrel shotgun, like shoots it once and forces all the guys to the barn.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh man, we're defeated. She has a gun. Like,
I do like that for the whole gang. They don't have guns.
Yep.
There's no self defense thing. No one has an arrow. No one has a knife they throw. They're just like, okay, well, shotgun beats this. This mm-hmm. beats everyone.
She can obviously take all of us out with the like one shot left in her gun. Like, but then the door to the barn is like hilariously like flimsy, and they just smash through it. Which I guess just like five or six guys smashing on it, but it's still like it kind of it like collapses like cardboard. Like, it's just like or like balsa wood. It's like smashed through it, and then they're back in the chase.
Let's get to the scene where the toe cutter gang really amps it up by running over Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I always ask about running away from vehicles like that is, why would you follow the road? Why don't you run parallel? I guess she was afraid. And she was hoping that they wouldn't just run into her, but they do.
Like betting that like toe cutter is not insane enough to like run over a baby,
and he was.
But he is, yeah. But again, no, he doesn't cut the toes off. Like, why is he called toe cutter?
No idea.
Like, he should have like a cigar like cutter, and like that's like he kills someone, and, like he's like I cut, or like I have a necklace of toes or something, like. He should be like that guy in he should be like Darkman, like Drake. He should have like all like just ears or whatever, like or eyeballs or whatever.
His wife makes it all the way back to some centralized hospital where I think she loses her arm.
She passes away.
She
has no arm, no leg. They said it's like there's like massive internal injuries, and then they're like, I love how the doctor's like Max is standing outside of the room, and then like the doctor's like, tell him she'll be fine. Tell him, like, she's not, but tell him, like, lie to him.
And he is like horrifically hearing this. You see, look on his face, and his like rolled is sinking.
That's when he turns into Mad Max. Finally, the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Again, I knew that going in, again, as my rewatch, that it's a very slow burn to where you see Mad Max.
This whole movie, I mean, I very much appreciate it, but this feels like it could have been, like, the first, like, 10 minutes of The Road Warrior or something. Like, you just get, like, this, like, opening scene. Like, you establish, like, everything in this movie could be, like, cut down to, like the first act of, like, Road Warrior, and then you're like, oh, and then he's, like, end up in the apocalypse. Like, someone, like, this, like, Madman ran over his like wife and son, and then he became like this like roaming police vigilante guy.
I mean, essentially, that's what they did in Fury Road. You mm-hmm. don't even get, like, you just get, like, tidbits, and if you happen to be watching these movies in order or aware of the whole series, it's rewarding to know, but that's all you need. Again, this was, it feels very, like, art house, college, like, amateur movie.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's George Miller's first movie, so yeah, he's you know, he's still working out the kinks.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, okay, like, so I, like, it, this movie now is a rewatch, it's definitely for movie buffs. Mm-hmm. Is it for everyone? No. I, you know, it's hard to recommend watching the first Mad Max if someone's never interested in it, because you have to say, okay, you have to watch, like, Road Warrior, and then maybe Thunder, Beyond Thunderdome, and then Fury Road, but until you appreciate where it started, like, you know, it's always rough trying to go back in time and relive the nostalgia, especially in a way that if you say post-apocalyptic, you're just like, they had ice cream.
Yeah.
They had ambulances. Like,
yeah.
Very different. That being said, again, you know, it's still cool to watch. Matt, the 15 minute montage of Max hunting down this gang is good, because you spent such a long time watching Max sort of, you know, give up his duties as a cop, realizing the danger, and then...
Well, like, his chief hypes him up as, like, he is the best interceptor on the police force. Like, he's the best cop on the police force, basically. And we've only seen him really, like, kind of do, like, a little bit of that, like, way back in the beginning. But then here, yeah, he's suited up, he's in his iconic Mad Max, like, leather outfit. He gets his souped up, the V8, like, interceptor, the black interceptor. He's got his, like, sawed-off shotgun. He's, like, fully a Mad Max now.
Yeah. He pretty much just does things, no talking. He's mad as hell.
Yeah.
And I think he does this all in a day?
Something, yeah. It's a short time after he leaves the hospital, and then suits up. He's just like, yeah, he manages to hunt them all down. And then he just drives most of them off the road. Like, he just, like, kind of, like, runs up, like, most of the gang off the road, off of bridges and stuff.
Yeah. He kills most of them that way.
Yeah. I mean, are they even dead? Are they dead, though? Or are they just, like, kind of, like, they just crashed, and it's like, oh, no, our bike's ruined.
I don't know. It's not like he falls into, like, a gigantic pit of spike. He pushes them into, like, a river.
Yeah, they don't explode either. It's just like, oh, I crashed off the side of the road. But I mean, he definitely gets Toe Cutter, because he managed to get Toe Cutter to crash or drive into a truck, oncoming truck, and it's like is like graphically run over by the truck.
Oh, what did you think about the fake eyeballs?
I was just like, that's kind of jarring. Was just like, wait, what? What? Because it's before he gets hit. So, like, I mean, after he gets hit, I can see, maybe see, like, oh, his eyeballs popped out. But it's just like, it's before. It's like this, like, cartoonish, like, boing, like, oncoming truck.
Very different. Like, isn't it? It's like a whole different movie, that scene. It feels like something out of a comedy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a cool, satisfying death for Toe Cutter. But then, like, the final scene, like, so, like, he managed to track the, like, kills everyone else, and then, but, like, Johnny is the only one left, and then he tracks him down. And Johnny is, like, doing his use of Johnny thing of, like, he's, like, trying to steal the boots off a dead guy that crashed inside the road.
Yeah, what, and then that guy crashed just
like, it's a random crash. But then I love that, like, Max basically puts him in, like, a saw trap.
Pre-saw trap.
Like, James Wan had to see this and be like, oh, yeah, what if we made a whole movie like that? Like, because
essentially they keep crediting Mad Max for that idea of, I put you in a trap, you could do this or that.
Yep.
And where do you stand? Do you think Johnny got out of it, or he blew up?
I mean, I feel like it's way too, like, it's like, it basically, it's like, as soon as Max left, like, it was like the car blew up. So it's like, I think Max, like, told him he had options, but I think he, like, set up to, like, just kill him. Like, I don't think he, like expected, like saw his own leg off and get out. Like, it was just like, he told me in 5 minutes. He probably had like 1 minute.
So I don't know if basically if this was like it. Do you think this scene, it's still a pretty powerful scene, But do you think this scene would have been better if it was a callback to something earlier? If they did the same thing to him, you know, as a, oh, like, they're so messed up, they tricked Max thinking that he ever had a choice? Or or if you want to get even deeper about it, and potentially this is George Miller's simplicity, is that, you know how the police chief was giving Max a choice to be the cop? Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is Max's choice to say, like, no matter what, like, it's the illusion of choice. Is that the metaphor?
I think it's just, like, to show, like, yo, Max, he, like, the law, like, the law is gone. Like, it's his own law now. It's his own, like, justice. Like, I'm can do to survive, and then, like, if someone crosses me, I'm just gonna, like, take them out.
But then why give the guy the choice? Why not just do the same thing he's been doing to the rest of the gang?
I know. I think it was also just, like, he wanted to, like, do something, like, especially, like, to Johnny, because, like, you know, he burned Goose alive, did Max know that, or, like, I think he just kind of assumed, like, the whole gang did it, but. Or I think maybe, Johnny was, like, yelling stuff about, like, oh, I didn't kill the family, or I wasn't involved in anything.
Yeah, but I wouldn't believe Toke. I wouldn't believe.
No, him. Yeah.
He's, like, whacking out of his mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just, like, yeah, that was Max turning into Mad Max, where it's just, like, now, like, he's just, like, I'm not a cop anymore. Like, you're not getting arrested. I'm gonna, like, I'm killing you in, like, the, like, this, like, over top way now.
You know, I'm surprised he doesn't do that again in later movies. There's no more.
Yeah, he doesn't. He just takes guys out, like, later on. There's no, like, elaborate death traps anymore.
Yeah, I would have liked a gimmick for Max, if it's not just, like, beating people and just being mad. I don't know if this would play over time well, but him handcuffing people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sort of happens in Fury Road, where he gets handcuffed to, like, a wild boy.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I think it would have been a running gag in his movies of how he fights his enemies if he handcuffed them. Or he just happened to have a hacksaw handy.
he's like, opens his leather jacket, he just has, like, a thing of hacksaws. The Max thing is, it's like his car is like the main thing, 'cause it's like basically becomes like his home, is like his, like, interceptor, which is, like, such a big deal when it gets, like, demolished in Fury Road. Like,
but then they rebuilt it again in Fury Road.
Yeah. But. Overall, like, the first of Max, it's definitely interesting to go back to. It's interesting to see, like, George Miller's start. I kind of compare it maybe a little bit to, like, Dr. No, where it's like there's pieces of, like, where James Bond, like, because Dr. No is, like, there's a lot of weirdness for James Bond stuff. It's like oh, there's definitely James Bond elements here, but, like, a lot of it's not in place yet. And then, like, the next, it took James Bond, like, two movies to get there. And then Mad Max is, like, the next one was, like, oh yeah, this is all the pieces are in place now. The Road Warrior is, like, fully for Mad Max.
Nah, I will argue that, Dr. No, it's stylish and it has a tone. They just don't know how to invest in the right moments of it.
Well, it doesn't.
Just, it doesn't know what it wants to do for the first 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. No is like much more like the I don't the, like
the theme is set in
yeah.
Dr. No because it's just
missing like some of the other elements, like, you know, like, there's no Q, there's no like some of the other stuff, like some of the stuff is missing, and then if Goldfinger's where it all kind of like finally came together and like this is like a fully formed James Bond movie.
Yeah, then became like a formula. It found out its success of having these beats. Mad Max in the beginning, it's just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's a comedy, it's an action movie, it's a like a criminal drama,
a family like vacation movie.
Family vacation. It's a man who wants to give up the life of being the cop, and then it's a man who also is supporting his partner who loves being a cop because it's cool. Goose is Craig weird. Like, he doesn't have a family. He's just going out to cabarets. He's having like lunch, like during the day.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was more to that interceptor force, but we don't get any of that anymore.
Yeah, it's four guys and the captain. That's the entire police force left of this, like, I guess, whatever area of Australia this is.
Just keeping up that civilization in that one zone.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a nice like reminder of cinema. It's not like a great like, oh hey, let's watch the original Mad Max because it's so goddamn entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the last 20 minutes for me always is great. That I will say always stays, where he's pissed and he's going murdering these gangs and just with a car.
But if you just jump into, you know, Road Warrior, you get everything you need to know, and then it's all the like actual like Mad Max stuff that you're like you've heard about or looking for.
Yep, I said Road Warrior is better. It's one of the things where like a sequel is a faster beat. It's the same thing as like Evil Dead. People love Evil Dead, but then Evil Dead 2 is that like just improved.
Yeah. That's probably a better comparison to like instead of like Dr. No, like it's like yeah, Evil Dead 2, yeah.
Yep. I mean, Evil Dead 1 has its own place. It's just it's hard to recommend people if they are used to more modern horror and I guess Evil Army of Darkness, you know. It's like, don't make a whole day out of it. Like if we were trying to watch a Mad Max marathon, I don't know if I would throw this on first.
The machete cut of the Mad Max series, like we're gonna watch Mad Max 2 and then we're gonna go back to the first one and then we're gonna go to Thunderdome.
I would argue you skip Thunderdome, you say 2, Fury Road, Mad Max 1, Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point we figure out where the Furiosa movie fits in place.
Well, you gotta watch Furiosa before Fury Road, or like I got that's weird because like it's like you need to watch Fury Road to like understand, like, because there's gonna be so many like references like Fury Road of like here's all these characters from Fury Road that you like know, and then here's where they started from.
Hey, it's my favorite character, the gun maker or the bullet maker.
Yeah, like the gun king or whatever. Like, and then whoever Chris Hemsworth's playing. But, yeah, so I think I'll do it for our Mad Max. Happy 45th anniversary to Mad Max. And hopefully the series continues with Furiosa, and hopefully it's as awesome as Fury Road. We'll find out this summer. Any other final Mad Max thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, like, whatever happened to Goose after the movie? Is there ever a chance you think that Goose will ever come back in another Mad Max movie?
I mean, if the, like, society collapsed, like, so soon after this first one, and he was, like, in, like, a burn unit in like, an already terrible hospital, like, I don't think he made it out.
Nuts.
I don't think there's, like, a like Rick Grimes style, where like they left him in the hospital and he wakes up after the apocalypse, like stumbles out.
I don't know. Maybe he secretly is Immortal Joe.
Maybe, yeah. Although Immortal Joe's not Bird. I mean, he just has like a weird like lung condition or something. He has to breathe oxygen and get so much milk.
Who knows?
But that'll do it for this week's episode. Head over to the site. We've got all of our usual news, features, articles. I've got a review of Monkey Man if you want to hear or read about that, Dev Patel's new action revenge movie. We have our trip to PAX East, so you can read all about that on the site. We've got all trailers, news, everything else up there. Head over and check all that stuff out. And so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.